Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 5. We continue our study in this book of Acts, and I just want to take a moment to remind you, as we're opening, understand we're opening the Word of God. It is the inspired Word from God. What it says is right, and what it says is wrong. This book is without error. We as a church are in 100% or 1,000% in agreement with everything in here. Amen? So as we reverently stand and examine, let us examine the Word of God. Acts chapter 5 and verse 17. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of Sadducees. They were filled with indignation. They laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people. After him, he also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." And they agreed with him. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow to you. We bow rejoicing in the knowledge and assurance that Jesus is the Christ, that there is no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. That it is through Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. Your Son, Jesus. And we rejoice to know that because Jesus rose from the grave, we too, as believers and followers of Jesus, will rise. And that there has been a heavenly home prepared for us that will be eternal. And we also know that this same Jesus who rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand, your right hand, Heavenly Father, that this same Jesus is coming again. We pray, Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Now we pray your will be done, that you would move hearts, direct minds, according to your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Title of the message today is, of course, it's time to fight. Now, I want you to understand when I say it's time to fight, I'm not talking about the way men fight. I'm not talking about get out the guns and let's lead a revolution against the United States government. Not talking about attacking those who don't agree with us. I'm talking about it's time to fight the spiritual battles. Those battles that occur up here and in here. Because we have an enemy. He is a shrewd enemy. And he is constantly prowling, looking to destroy us. And so therefore, we have to be ready to fight those battles. Day in and day out. First thing I want to challenge you to be ready to fight the battles is you have to be consistent. Number one. You have to be found always doing the same thing that you've always done in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there was a time when I was young. I loved new things and always excited about new stuff. But as I get older, I appreciate more and more some of the traditions, but most of all, that God is still God and He never changes. I appreciate the fact that the same God who saved me about 50-something years ago is the same God who saved those two kids that were baptized this morning. You see, God is consistent. Because He's consistent, I want to be consistent also. Now, what does it mean to be consistent? First of all, we got to be faithful. Always be found faithful. No matter what, be faithful. In our text, the high priest, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, it says, was filled with indignation. I want you to understand what that word indignation means. It means to be jealous. Now, there's anger that's dangerous, but when people get jealous, it gets really dangerous really quickly. These people were jealous. The Sadducees were jealous, and the reason they were jealous is because of the success of the ministry of the apostles. You see, by this point, and right now, I have no idea what the membership of this early church would have been. Approximately 10 to 15,000, maybe more than that, right? But they have just had a great following join them. Now, if you understand, now we think that's a lot of people, and it is, but if you really understand what the population of Jerusalem was at that time, it was supposed to be about 25,000. So if there were 10 to 15,000 Jews that were following these apostles at this time, that was half the population. And this half the population was won in a very short period of time. And to make it all the worse, they were meeting, this early church was meeting in the temple at a place called Solomon's Porch. Sadducees had the authority of the temple, in charge of what went on. That was their territory. Now, I'll give you something to relate it to. I love Victory Baptist Church, don't you? If you're a member of Victory, do you love your church? Amen, I do too. And so, the equivalent of what was going on there would be for somebody just to show up in the fellowship hall of Victory Baptist Church and decide they're going to start a church while we're meeting for church in here. How would you feel about that? Come on. You'd feel like I would. I'd go back, no, sir, you're not doing that here. Now, the only difference between us and them was these Sadducees, though. They were very selfish. They were very greedy. They were in it for their own personal benefit. They didn't care about the people they were supposed to minister to. And so they, of course, are very jealous, to put it mildly. In verse 18, it says that they laid hands on them. And understand, when they laid hands on them, that phrase, the Greek word, is a very violent word. They were arrested. It wasn't, will you please come with us? It was they grabbed them and drug them into custody. As a matter of fact, that night they threw them into prison, it says, because it was late in the day. And they were sitting in prison that night, and an angel showed up to deliver them out of prison. I find it really interesting, even humorous, that the Sadducees don't believe in angels, so God sent an angel to deliver the apostles out of the prison that the Sadducees were in charge of. Isn't that cool? Say amen. But during the night, this angel opened the prison doors and got them out. I want you to stop right there. Had we been one of the apostles at that time, we'd probably be thinking, oh, woe is me. I'm so abused. These guys have got me in prison. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, woe is me. But this is a reminder that if God's people are faithful, you are never beyond the deliverance of God. They had the doors locked. They had guards standing outside the prison. And God sent an angel, and this angel had no problem whatsoever escorting these guys out that locked door by the guards and back out into freedom. That's the God that we serve. But you also have to understand, yeah, God can deliver no matter the circumstances. But He doesn't always deliver the way that we think He should deliver. Okay? For example, in this case, he rescues them out of jail. Now, the smart thing to do would be to thank the angel, talk to the other guys and say, okay, guys, it's time for us to go to the mountains and lay low for a while till all this kind of blows over and things cool off. But that wasn't their instruction. Their instruction is go back and preach again. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But they're going to go right out of the fire, right out of the frying pan into the fire. You know, we always want God to rescue us, but we want God to rescue us our way, don't we? We want Him to get us out of those difficult circumstances. And I'm just reminded here, even in this case, God doesn't always do like we think we want Him to do. Consider Peter. Peter, that faithful apostle, you know how he died? He was crucified upside down. Consider James. James, beheaded. Consider the apostle Paul. No one ever did more than the apostle Paul as far as work for the New Testament church, and he himself was beheaded. But I would present to you, in each of those cases, God delivered those men. Because I'm reminded that if faith cost the believer his life, guess what? That just escorts him into the presence of Jesus, where he has a reward laid up in heaven. That no matter what this world does, that it does not matter what we face, it does not even matter how God delivers us, that God's deliverance is always right. I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that story, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were commanded by the king to bow down and worship a graven image of the king or be cast into the fiery furnace. Now, their response is the part that I love. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If in this is the case, our God whom we will serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. That has to be our faith, mentality of faithfulness. It does not matter what we have to face. It does not matter how difficult circumstances get. It does not matter what Satan throws our way. No matter what, we will serve the Lord. You have to get that set in your mind, or you will fold like a cheap lawn chair the first time you face opposition. I think that's what goes on in the world of Christianity today. Starts getting a little tough, and we start getting a little easy. You know, I just don't know. Maybe God doesn't want me to do this. No, suck it up, buttercup. Come on. Get in the fight. Stay in the fight. Be faithful. Whether God delivers you or whether God does not deliver you, you be faithful no matter what. That's what these apostles were doing. Be faithful. Number two, always speak the truth. Always speak the truth. All right? Look at the instructions that the angel gave them. He said, go back into the temple where you were and speak all the words of this life. Now, this life, it's talking about the believer's life, the Christianity, what it means. The angel is telling them, give them the whole message. Give them everything. Tell them about salvation through Jesus Christ, whom they crucified. Tell them that Jesus rose from the grave, today seated at the right hand of God, and that because He lives, you too will live, which they didn't believe in a resurrection. Tell them about the angel who delivered you out of prison. They didn't believe in angels either. So he's telling them, you go just ruffle their feathers with everything that we believe. You know, sometimes our message does ruffle feathers, right? But we still have to be faithful to preach the truth of Jesus Christ. I've learned as a pastor. You know, some things I preach is going to upset somebody. But I have made a commitment that I preach the Word of God. And I do it, for the most part, I do it line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I don't want to skip any part. Why? Because it's God's Word. All of it is God's Word. And I know that in the church today, it's one of those that people are just so afraid they're going to be offensive. Listen, if you offend, it's one thing. But if the Word of God offends, that's between them and God. Amen? It don't matter if you don't like it. If that's your problem, that's between you and God. My point being this. We as a church, me as a pastor, you as an individual, we cannot afford to skip over any part of the Scripture that we do not like or that might offend anybody. We believe the whole counsel of God without exception. God doesn't make mistakes. Everything He wrote is truth. I love the Apostle Paul's words in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Paul said, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I pray that Victory Baptist Church will be able to say that when we stand before Jesus. Always speak the truth. Always be faithful. Always be consistent. Second thing, if you're going to be consistent, you've got to be persistent. Okay? Got to be persistent. You're going to be persistent. First thing you're going to have to learn how to do is to be stubborn. How many of you are stubborn? Amen. That's good. You got to be a little bit stubborn. And because these guys were a little bit stubborn, the angel said, you go back and you preach. The next morning early, they went back into the temple and it says they talked. In the meantime, and I love the setting here. In the meantime, the Sanhedrin's meeting early that next morning. I can see them in their robes and their official council. They take roll and all the Sanhedrin is present. And the leader, the chief priest, speaks up and says, go deliver the prisoners and so that we may hear them. And they go to get the prisoners and they greet the guards as they enter. They unlock the door and they look in and say, wait a minute, where are they? Where are these guys? They look in every corner. They look around and they come back out and ask the guards. And the guards say, man, we've not moved from here all night. I don't know where they are. So they come back to the Sanhedrin and they tell the Sanhedrin, guys, The locked door's locked just like we left it last night. The guards were at the door just like we left them last night. We went into the prison and nobody's there. And so they start wondering, what in the world happened? What in the world happened to my prisoners? And then somebody who had come through the temple said, oh, you're not going to believe this. These guys that you arrested last night, put in prison, they're in the same place in Solomon's Porch preaching Jesus Christ again to the people this morning. I love that. See, they were a little bit stubborn. They were a little bit stubborn. They weren't going to quit because it was difficult. They didn't say, we're not going to do this jail thing anymore. They just go back and they're faithful to preach Jesus. Listen, we got to be a little bit stubborn. I ask you in the beginning, are you stubborn? Are you stubborn over the things that matter? I love my wife. She's a wonderful lady. And I love it when she, when you love people, you give them pet names, right? Y'all do that? She's got a pet name for me. It's Stubborn Donkey. She doesn't use the word donkey. That's the G rating, right? And I know I am. I am. I'm stubborn. I'm stubborn in a lot of things. But listen, I want to be stubborn when it comes to Christ. I want to be stubborn enough that I preach the gospel no matter what. No matter how old I get, no matter how hard it gets, no matter who doesn't like it. I want to be faithful. You know, I think the problem today, you see, we just want to quit so easy. We get sick, so we quit. We get our feelings hurt, so we quit. We get distracted and busy with other things, so we quit because we think we don't have time. No, get stubborn. Be too stubborn to quit. Again, the Apostle Paul, Philippians 3:13 and 14, I want to share with you. And I didn't put that up there, but I'll read it to you. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm not giving up. You want to ask, how could this man get whipped, be beaten, put in prison? Everywhere he goes, he's either run out of town or they have to sneak him out of town to save his life. Even to one point where he was stoned and left for dead. How did he keep going? This is it. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. It don't matter what happened yesterday. Have you ever had somebody hurt your feelings in church? Raise your hand, say amen. Forget it. Okay? Forget it. Well, Brother Doug, I can't forget it. Have a short-term memory. That was yesterday. It's a new day. You don't live according to yesterday. You live here where you are today, and you look forward, reaching for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. If you will keep that mentality, I guarantee you, you will never quit. Keep pressing forward. There's work to be done. Be stubborn, right? I'm not going to quit. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to quit. Number two, be obedient. Be obedient. It says, the captain and the officers bring the apostles to the Sanhedrin without violence. I love the way they did it this time. Last time, they grabbed them and drug them before the Sanhedrin. Now, this time, it says, they approach the guys and say, gentlemen, will you please come with us? The Sanhedrin would like to speak to you. That's my interpretation, but mind you, that's the mentality that they approach these guys this time. They don't do it with violence because they're afraid they'll be stoned by the people. People in that day, they were always carrying a stone, you know, and they're ready to pull it at any time. So the captain and they bring the disciples, the apostles, before the Sanhedrin. And once they arrive there, the Sanhedrin charges them. Verse 28, it says, did we not strictly command you not to teach in the name? Did you notice they don't say in the name of Jesus? You want to know how much hatred these guys had for Jesus? It was so much hatred that they would not even say his name. So here they say, we strictly commanded you not to teach in that name. It wasn't an option. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. Do not speak or teach in that name. And you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood on us. It's very interesting. You know these, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees are the guys that led the charge to have Jesus crucified, right? And do you remember what they said when Pilate was asking them what to do with him, what to do with Jesus? They said, let His blood be upon us and upon our children. Now they're trying to change their tune. You're trying to make us look guilty, probably because you are guilty. You crucified Jesus. As a matter of fact, Peter just turns loose. And he preaches to him in just a moment. But I love Peter's response here. He says, we ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to obey God rather than man. And see, it's at this point, there's somebody going to say, well, you know, what about the passage in Romans where it says where we're commanded to be subject to the higher powers, those governmental powers? Listen, when any power commands the believer to do something that God says not to do, or not to do something that God says to do, when any power makes such a command, then we as a believer should faithfully and without reservation be ready to break that command, no matter what. That's what Peter's doing. Listen, you have to set your mind. I think that's what's not happening today. You have to set your mind that God will have preeminence in my life, without exception. Okay? You've got to get that. You don't set your mind when you're in the middle of the war and you're fighting the battle and your faith is being challenged. You don't wait till then, because that's too late. Right here, today, among the safety of other believers, you set it in your mind that no matter what, no matter who challenges, no matter how severe it becomes, Jesus Christ is first, period. If you will get that in your mind, you're ready to face the fight. Oh, listen. I love the words of Joshua. Joshua 24:15. I think it's where we all need to go. Joshua 24:15, he's addressing the children of Israel, and he says this. He says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. I want to stop right there just a moment. Choose for yourselves. You've got to understand, you're going to have to make the choice. Your mom and daddy can't make the choice for you. Your friends can't make the choice for you. You have to make the choice. Therefore, Joshua said, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, okay, let's do it one more time. As for me and my house, we, you got to get that in your mind. If you don't have that in your mind, as I said, you will fold every time. But when you have that solidly implanted and you're faced with that opposition or your faith is challenged, you're ready to say, I do not care. I will not budge, no matter what man may do to me. That's what we're missing today. That's why you don't see Christians, the consistency in Christianity today. Because we don't make up our mind that Jesus is King, no matter what. That was the challenge. And that's my challenge to you this day. Then finally, in closing, Be joyful. You know, we're supposed to have a joy about us as believers. You know that, right? We're supposed to have a joy about us. Let's start with what they faced. First thing, they faced a horrible beating. It's interesting when Gamaliel gave this speech and he said, be careful what you do to these guys. If it's of God, you'll be found fighting against God. And I said, okay, we're not going to fight against them. So they call them back in the room, and what do they do to them? They beat them. They beat them. So basically they're saying, okay, we're not going to kill them. We're still going to abuse them. And I love Peter. He just breaks loose right before that and preaches to him in 30:31. He said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to the right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Oh, Peter just, he gives it all. And the Sadducees, again, were furious. You have to understand that word. That word furious, it literally, the Greek word means to be sawn apart. Is sawn a word? To be sawed apart. Southern. To be sawed apart. Okay? These guys, when Peter told them all that, y'all crucified, he's risen, he's the prince, he's the savior of Israel, it was like you sawed these guys in half. I mean, they were cut. Now listen, there's only one of two ways you can respond when you're cut that deep. Number one, you can respond in anger. Number two, you can repent and get right with God, right? That's the only two responses. So if this message touches you, understand you're going to do one of those two things. You're either going to respond in anger or you're going to repent. These guys responded in anger. They were furious. They want to kill them. So they did take them out of the room, and they did. I got ahead of myself there a little bit. Gamaliel gave his speech, be careful what you do to these guys. So they decide, okay, we're going to let them go. But before they let them go, they beat them. You have to understand the Jewish beating. It was 39 lashes. The Old Testament law, you were not allowed to beat anyone over 40 lashes, right? So these sticklers for the law, they would only give 39 lashes for fear that they would miscount along the way. Because just think about it. When you're doing lashes, you could lose count, right? I read something the other day. I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm going to share with you because I thought it was interesting. That many times they would not give the 40 lashes all on the back. That they would give some of them on the front and some of them on the back. And I never read that before, and I thought, wow. See, you have to understand what these lashes are. These were not a spanking. They had a whip that would tear you up. Can you imagine? Let's say 20 lashes on the front, 20 lashes on the back. You can't lay down. No matter where you are, you're uncomfortable because your whole front and back's just burning and bleeding. And they gave them that good whooping. And they commanded them one more time, do not teach in the name of Jesus anymore. It's go time. It's time when am I serious? Am I truly committed? Look at how they left. They left the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Listen, I whine and complain. I whine and complain over the least little things. These guys have gotten the whipping of their lives and they leave saying, praise God, I'm counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. They had the right attitude. They're like the Apostle Paul. Colossians 1:24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. How do you leave persecution and being beat up with a joyful attitude? This is it. You see, you have to understand when you're being persecuted, when you're being opposed, that they're not really opposing you. Okay? Jesus said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. They're not persecuting you. They're persecuting whom you represent. Okay? They're not mad at you. They're mad at who you represent. And with that in mind, that's why Paul said what he said. He's not suggesting that Jesus didn't do enough on the cross. That's not his point. His point is, Jesus, they couldn't get their hands on Jesus. But they could get their hands on the Apostle Paul. So they'd give the Apostle Paul the beating that they wanted to give Jesus. They gave these apostles the beating that they wanted to give Jesus. Now think about this. Think about what Jesus did for you. Think about the crown of thorns that he wore on his head. Think about the beating that he took at the hands of the Roman guard. Think about hanging on that cross. Think about being spat upon. Thinking about being made fun of as people would walk by. Let God save him if he'll have him. Think of all that he suffered. He did it for you. For you. Now, doesn't it make sense that if he did all that for me, doesn't it make sense that I would be blessed that I could suffer in any way, shape, form, or fashion for him? That's what this is talking about. Oh, listen, my friend. They viewed it as a privilege. So should we. When life gets hard and we're under attack, you understand. When we're being attacked because of our faith, and we go away, don't you dare go away saying, woe is me, I'm so pitiful, this is so sad. No, you go away rejoicing that you're counted worthy to bear the marks of Christ. What is this message about? Sum it up. God's people need to be strong. We're not weaklings because we belong to the God that can do anything. We're not ones that back down when it gets tough because we serve the God that can give us the power to get us through. We need to get rid of the woe is me attitude that's in the church today. And we need to pick up and realize Jesus died for me. If I can suffer, do without, experience anything for His glory, then glory to God, I'm glad to do it. Because what did Jesus do for you? I'll answer that question in case you're not a believer. You see, Jesus Christ addressed the issue of sin. Jesus Christ addressed the issue of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody. You know, I go back to the story of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned. You remember what they did? They took fig leaves, sewed them together to cover themselves because they were ashamed. You remember God when He came through? Said, fig leaves aren't going to do. So it says that He clothed them with the skin of an animal. I believe that skin was the skin of a lamb. I believe that's me, okay? But the point being this. The leaves that they put together did not get rid of their sin. It took the blood to get rid of their sin. So many people today are hoping they make it to heaven. They're trying, well, I'm a good person. Well, I give to this and I serve my community. Good for you. But the problem is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody. And you got to address that. And trying yourself to address that is like sowing fig leaves on a naked body. It doesn't work. The good news is this. Jesus came as the blood sacrifice for your sin. Your only hope of heaven is Jesus Christ. The good news is that Jesus died as a sacrifice to take your punishment. He died for your sin, and He makes this offer to you. Your sin has been paid. Will you accept that sacrifice? But the decision is yours. This morning, I want you to understand, if you're a sinner, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. You're headed to hell, and you can be as good as you want to be. That's still where you're going to wind up. Preacher, you're trying to scare me? No, I'm trying to be honest. Okay? You've got to have the blood of the Lamb of God. See, in the Garden of Eden, God sacrificed the Lamb. Some 4,000 years later, John the Baptist was baptizing on the Jordan River, and Jesus approached and He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You've got to deal with your sin. The only way to deal with that sin is through Jesus. Now today I challenge you. I ask you, okay? Come to Jesus. I want to give you this invitation. If you don't understand, I'll be glad to share with you. We have staff members up here who'll be glad to lead you. But don't leave here without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the example that the apostles were. Even though it was tough, even though it was hard, even though they faced the harshest of persecution, Lord, they kept going. They kept preaching the truth. Father, may we be faithful. May we preach, teach, stand for, share the truth of Jesus Christ in every aspect of our lives. Help us, Lord, to be tough, to stand for Your glory. And now, Lord, I pray in this invitation You'd give us the heart to respond. Give us the heart to follow Your leading. In Jesus' name I pray.